Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Before you take your seats, will you do me a favor? Put a smile on your face. Again, we are making sure we are going to engage in this sermon as well. Put a smile on your face. Look at your neighbor smiling, looking at your neighbor. Walk across to somebody. Smile at them and say, neighbor. Y'all look back at me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put a smile on your face. I want you to look at your neighbor like you're glad that God woke you up this morning because he didn't have to. Like you're glad to be in the house of God. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is a God dream. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Look across at somebody. Say, neighbor. Hey. How you doing? Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is a God dream. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. God dream. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine. Lord, prepare us to receive your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 A God dream. What can't you do? It may seem like an odd question, but it's one that many of us answer every single day. We tell ourselves, I can't do that. You want to get a house in the next year, but because your credit score is low and your bills are high, you tell yourself, I can't do that. You want to start a new career, but because you've got responsibilities, two children in school and one is about to go to college, you tell yourself the risk is too much. I can't do that. All the words may not come out of your mouth. Some of us have gotten so good at it that we don't even need the words. When the big idea begins to form in our brains, we abort it before it fully forms. I can't do that. Because of our current situation, our current circumstances, there are some things that we won't even allow ourselves to think because it seems too far-fetched. Where I am, your current situation in life has conditioned you to limit the dreams you have to the ones that you can understand. As a child, I remember my grandfather telling me this particular phrase, boy, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. As a child, I thought my grandfather was talking about a dog, and so I was determined to treat one of my old dogs. I wanted to teach him new tricks just to show my grandfather that he was wrong. But once I got a little older, I realized he wasn't talking about a dog. He was talking about people. Some of us have become the old dogs, and even with our belief in God, we have made up our mind there are some things that we just can't do. So we don't allow ourselves to envision something beyond what we can strategize towards. We don't allow ourselves to envision something that requires us to have faith that God can and will still do the supernatural. We tell ourselves, I can't do that. And that's what's going on in Genesis chapter number 15. That's what's going on in our story this morning. Come, let's eavesdrop on a conversation God had with Abram and see if we can learn something about God, Abram, and ourselves in the process. It's in chapter 12 that God says to Abram, leave your father's house in Ur and go to a place that I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. While he's journeying, a famine hits, so he travels to Egypt and hides out there. He lied and said that his wife was his sister, and Pharaoh found out, and they could have killed him, but he doesn't. He lets him leave. In Genesis chapter number 13, he had a conversation with his nephew Lot, and they had been arguing over land. And so Abram says, you choose which land you want to have, and I'll go the opposite direction. Lot looks and he sees that one portion of land is a good land. He can grow a lot of crops there. So Lot chooses the best land. Abram is left with the rest. But God blessed him even with the bad patch of land. Chapter number 14 describes the war of the kings, where several kings banded together to attack Sodom, where Abram's nephew Lot and Lot's family live. Abram gets word that his nephew Lot and his family have been taken as prisoners of war. Because he loves his family, even when he's mad at them, Abram rounds up some brothers who was working for him, and they form their own SEAL Team 6. They form their own special ops group to go rescue his nephew Lot. While it was a risky mission, Abram grows forward, and even to his surprise, he didn't die in battle. He was able to save his nephew and his nephew's family. He got back home, and God began to talk to him. God says to him in verse 1 of chapter number 15, don't be afraid. I am a shield to you. I love it. That phrase alone is so powerful that it's our first point in the story. God shields his investments. God shields his investment. Before God tells Abram what he's going to do, God tells him how far he's already brought him. Abram, the reason you're able to survive the journey from Ur to this place is because I've been shielding you. Abram, the reason you did not die in the famine is because I've been shielding you. The reason you didn't die in Egypt was because I've been shielding you. The reason you didn't lose your mind when Lot chose a better land is because I've been shielding you. The reason you didn't die in the battle the other night is because I've been shielding you. I've made plans for you. I've invested something in you, and I've been protecting my investments. I've been shielding you. God tells Abram, who has helped him. God tells Abram who his help is, because if he realizes who's been protecting him in battles, it ought to excite him, because it lets him know that if tomorrow brings hell and high water, he's got God as his shield. When David found this out, David began to write about it in Psalm 23. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't even scared, because God is with me. Psalm number 27, David says, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers come up on me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. He realized that God was his shield. David found out what it means to have God protect his investment. Found out what it means to have God shield his people. Here God says, in essence, Abram, before I tell you what I'm going to do, I need you to understand what I've already done. I've been shielding you. For some of us here this morning, that's your testimony. That's your shout cue, because when you reflect on your own life, you gotta say, God has been shielding me. You've gotta say, had it not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. Had it not been for the Lord on my side, I'd be in a cemetery. Had it not been for the Lord shielding and protecting me, I'd be twitching on a corner somewhere. Had it not been for God shielding and protecting me, I would be a part of the prison industrial complex. God has been shielding me. I'm so glad that has been shielding his investment. Some of us can't shout right there because some of us want to determine how God shields us. If it's not how we want God to shield us, we then don't think God is shielding us. If God is shielding me, Pastor, why did God allow me to lose my job? If God is shielding me, then why did God let me lose my house? If God is shielding me, then why did God let me get sick? Sometimes we interpret shielding us to mean that God doesn't allow things to happen to us, when the reality is God will allow some attacks of the enemy to bump up against us, not to destroy us, but to strengthen us. Sometimes God allows us to feel the pressure of the attack just to strengthen our faith. The truth of the matter is, you wouldn't have faith if God did not allow you to be strengthened in some situations of life. The truth of the matter is that you would have been worse off had God not allowed you to go through some difficulties just to realize how strong you are. I wish I had somebody helping me here. If God had not allowed him to walk out on you, you wouldn't know how resilient you were. If God had not allowed you to be broke, you wouldn't know that he could provide for you. If God didn't allow you to be sick, you wouldn't know that he could heal you. God sometimes allows us to experience difficulties, and he still shields us. It's when you lost your job that you found out that he's a way maker. It's when your friends turn your back on you that you found out he'll never leave you nor forsake you. After all the hell that you've been through, the only reason that you are still here is because God has been shielding you. It's not that the enemy didn't want to destroy you, but it's that God wouldn't let him destroy you, because God protects his investments. Gotta move. Okay, so Abram says, God, I see you've been shielding me. God says, I'm not through yet. Not only have I been shielding you, he says, but I'm going to give you a great reward. Abram, I've been shielding you. I'm going to give you a great reward. God says, Abram, because of all the hell that you've been through, I'm going to give you a great reward. Then Abram becomes his own problem. Abram gets in his own way. Abram does what so many of us do. Abram says, but God, I don't have an heir. Abram does not allow himself to dream because he's blinded by his immediate lack. Abram can't celebrate what God has in store for him because he can't see past his current circumstance. Abram doesn't allow himself to the mental space to imagine what could be. He's focused on what he doesn't have rather than who he has. He says, but God, I don't have. Could it be that some of us don't allow ourselves to experience a God-sized dream because we are so focused on the negatives of our lives? Could it be that we don't celebrate what God is going to do in our lives because we are mentally bound by where we are? Abram rebuttals God, but I love how God handles it. Text says, God takes him outside. This is so powerful. This is our second point. Watch this. God hears what he has to say. Second point is this. God changes the perspective. God changes the perspective. The text says that Abram is in the comfort. The text suggests that Abram is in the comfort of his house, where he has been conditioned to stay comfortable where he is. Doesn't have to experience something uncomfortable. In order to get him to see something more for his life, the text says that God moves him outside. God has to move him from his comfort zone in order to get him to see something more for his life. God had to change his perspective. It teaches us that God will sometimes move us from what we are comfortable with in life in order for us to begin to look up and to see that God is at work in our lives. Here it is. A couple weeks ago, Howard University had its homecoming, HU, you know. And so I took my sons to the Howard homecoming, right? So we're on the yard, and I know the alphas are going to do their thing at the plot. And so I take them to see my frat brothers on the yard. And so it's a whole bunch of folks at Howard University homecoming. I mean, it's a whole bunch of your cousins them at Howard University homecoming. So around the alpha plot, there's a whole bunch of folks. I want my sons to see how alphas step. So I've got Micah and I've got Nathan. Nathan is smaller, so Nathan can hear the commotion. Nathan can see some people moving, but he can't tell what they're doing because of his perspective. So Nathan looked sad. Nathan was there, but he wasn't able to have joy in the experience because Nathan couldn't see. Some alphas turned around, they saw Nathan. They saw the young man could not see. So Alpha said, brothers, brothers, y'all move back. Let little man come up forward. He walked up. He got a front row view of the Alpha stepping. When his perspective was clouded, he was sad. But when he got a little closer, his face changed and he was able to enjoy the experience because his perspective simply changed. Come here, let me get you. Sometimes God has to move you from where you are in order to change your perspective. Sometimes God will shift your relationships in life in order for you to see him and not them. Sometimes God will allow you to lose one job in order for him to open another door for you to begin the business. Sometimes God will move you from one city in order for you to rely on him in another city. Sometimes God has to change your perspective so that you begin to see what he's up to in your life. God has let Abram know that he's been shielding him. God changes Abram's perspective. And here's why. To give him a God-sized dream. This last thing in the text, I'm out your way. God gives a God-sized dream. In the text, we see God paint a mental image for him that changes his life. God gives him a God-sized dream. God says, look up at the stars and count them if you can. God says, this is how many descendants you're going to have. Here's Abram's response, and it gets me happy, y'all. The text says, then he believed in the Lord. Y'all know when the shout's going to help you out. Watch this. Abram is not a young man. As a matter of fact, scholars say Abram's between the age of 75 and 86 years old. He is not a young man. Pfizer did not exist. There was no little blue pill to help him. And so he knows I am childless. He's 75 to 86 years old. But that's not even why I got excited in the text. I got happy when I saw the word then. Here it is. Chapter 12. God says, leave your father's house in Ur and go to a land that I'm going to show you. But it doesn't say then he believed. No. Chapter 13, he survives a famine. He survives in Egypt, but it doesn't say then he believed. Chapter 14, after surviving the war of the kings, we don't see the words then he believed. These words show up after he learned that God has protected his investments. These words show up after God changes his perspective. Could it be that Abram was not able to handle a God-sized dream until he had been through some things? Could it be that Abram wasn't able to embrace a God-sized dream until he found out that God had been protecting him all his life? Could it be that Abram wasn't able to handle a God-sized dream until God changed his perspective? It's only when God shows up in his life to let him know how he's been working in his life that he finally believes. God sent me this morning with the word for somebody to let you know that before you couldn't handle a God-sized dream. You couldn't handle what God planned for you. You could not handle the vision that God had for your life. But now that you've been through some things, now now that you've had some ups and some downs, now that you've had some difficult circumstances, now that you know he's a keeper, now that you know he's a way maker, now that you know he's your shield, now that he's changed your perspective, God is able to grab the paintbrush of heaven and begin to say, come here, let me paint a picture for you. You couldn't handle it before, but you're ready for it now, because now you know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or even think, because now you understand that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man all that God has planned for you. God has been protecting you. God has changed your perspective. God is saying, come here, now let me paint a God-sized dream for you. Is there anybody here this morning that's like Abraham? You'll say, Lord, I believe. Is there anybody here that's ready to say, God, paint a dream for me? Lord, I believe. Is anybody here that's willing to say, God, I believe that you can do all things? Anybody here that's willing to say, God, I'm ready to move beyond my limits of my circumstances? Are you anybody here ready to say, God, you can change my perspective? If that's your answer, then you ought to tell the Lord, yes. Yes, God, you can paint a picture for me. Yes, God, I believe that you're able to do the impossible. Yes, God, I believe that all things are possible with you. Yes, God, you can move me from where I am to where you want me to be. I want a God-sized dream. I'm out of your way. I'll tell you this. There's a story of a God-sized dream. One day, off in the halls of eternity, God had a conversation with possible and impossible. God said to possible and impossible, I have a dream of saving humanity. I have a dream that will require me to put flesh on and become a human. Can it be done? Impossible said, no, that can't be done. Impossible said, no, that can't be done. But God, if you work with me, then we can make it happen. God said, that's not all. But once I put on flesh and go down there for them, I'm going to have to die in place of them for their sins. But then I'm going to have to get myself back up 3 days later. Can it be done? Impossible said, no, no one has ever done anything like that before. Impossible said, no, nothing like that has ever happened before. But God, if you work with me, we can make it happen. God said, well, let's go for it. Let's take it and run with it, because with me all things are possible. God wrapped himself in flesh because he had a dream about saving you and saving me. He came through and did something that had never been done before. It's called the Immaculate Conception, where Virgin Mary had gave birth to a child. It had never been done before. But God had a God-sized dream that did not fit in our human limits. And God walked around doing good, walking on water, opening blinded eyes, raising dead. Hadn't been done before, but he had a God-sized dream to save you and to save me. And then they killed him. And they thought this was going to be the end of him. They thought the circumstance would stop him. They thought killing him and putting him in a tomb would limit him. But he had a God-sized dream that could not be trapped in a tomb. And country preacher would say, early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand, because he had a dream that one day you and me would hear the gospel message and have our lives turned around and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It's a God-sized dream. My brothers and my sisters, God wants you to know that he wants to paint on the canvas of your mind something that goes far beyond where you are, something that goes far beyond what you've experienced. What you cannot do is have the initial response of Abram that says, but God, I don't have. But God, I can't. God wants you to have the response of Abram in the latter half of the story, where Abram says, I know it looks impossible, but now, because I realize you've protected me all my life, now because you've changed my perspective and you painted a God-sized dream for me, it's now that I believe. My brother and my sister, the question is, will you believe God to do the impossible in your life? Will you dare to embrace God-sized dream, or will you stay limited by your circumstance? God wants you to know he's got the paintbrush of heaven in his hand. He says, come here, let me paint a dream for you. Come here, let me paint a picture for you of how I see your life down the road. got a God-sized dream for you. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you still paint God-sized dreams. Thank you that you protect us even when we don't know we're being protected. Thank you that you're willing to move us outside of our comfort zone just so we can look up and see what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that you're able to take us and to show us our lives being better. Show us that you've got more in store for us. Show us that your dream for us, your vision for us, goes far beyond our ability to understand. All you ask for us, Lord, is that we believe. This is indeed our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And then all the sanctuary, brothers and sisters. There's another portion of the scripture that I didn't even have enough time to deal with where Abram begins to ask God a question. Abram says, God, you also told me I'm going to possess some land. How do I know that's going to happen? God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get these animals and I want you to cut them in half. This symbolizes what's called a covenant of blood. God says, I'm going to take all of my divinity and I'm going to go into a contract with you. It's a binding agreement because I've painted this picture for you, because I've painted on the canvas of your mind a God-sized dream. I want to know what's going to happen. Here's how. I'm going to make an agreement with you. Here's the binding clause. I say the dream for you is going to come to pass. I say you're going to accomplish what I've already laid out for you. And here's what you have to do. Simply believe. All I want you to do is simply believe. Abram, can you do that? My brother, my sister, can you do that? God is saying, I'm willing to put my divinity on the line to say that I'm able to paint the picture for you and then make it come to pass. God, use that covenant as a symbol of what he would have to do to save us. He would have to send Jesus Christ to shed his blood to make a contract with us, to simply say, if you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, heaven will be your home. The price for your sin has already been paid. The question is, will you believe? If you hear my brother, my sister, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never made a declaration of faith. Here today, I help you do that. At Uplift, we make it very easy for you by simply praying a collective prayer. Here's what we pray, a collective prayer. We want you to know, in this Christian journey, you're not by yourself. You're not walking this journey alone. But brothers and sisters to your left and to your right are in this journey with you. If you hear my brother, my sister, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to pray a collective prayer with us. Simply say, dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. I admit that I've messed up. But I accept that you sent Jesus to do what seemed impossible. I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Because somebody may have made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Somebody may have finally made a confession of faith to let them know that heaven will one day be their home. If you hear my brother, my sister, and you pray that prayer for the first time, if you're here and you're looking to join Uplift Church, for saying, it's not just about the prayer, but I really do want to join the church. I want to become a member of the church and grow here spiritually. Be discipled here, my brother, my sister. We invite you to make your way forward now. If you pray that prayer for the first time, if you want to make a commitment to Uplift Church, we invite you to come now. There's one. I believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
you hear my brother, my sister? And you realize that you stopped drinking.
You just began to look at the circumstances of your life and you began to say, I can't do that. You realize it's been a long time since you've embraced a God-sized dream. You, my brother, my sister, you're standing in need of prayer. Pastor, pray for me that I can go back to the place where I believe that God can still do supernatural things. Pray for me that my faith is strengthened, that I trust God to accomplish what he said he's going to accomplish in my life. You hear, my brother, my sister, and you're standing in need of prayer, we invite you to make your way to the altar as we go before God. God, I want to go with you.